Good morning. Welcome to Building Speedy Azure Applications with HTML5 and WebSockets today. My name is Rick Garibay, and I'd like to welcome you to the Windows Azure Conference. Just a little bit about me before we get started. I'm the general manager for the Connected Systems Practice at Neudesic, a six-time Microsoft MVP, Microsoft Integration, and I sit on various advisory boards to Microsoft, including the Business Platform Technology Advisors, Azure Advisors, and Azure Insiders. I'm the co-author of Windows Server App Fabric Cookbook by PacPub, and I'm the chair and co-founder of the Phoenix Connected Systems User Group in Phoenix, obviously. Happy to continue the conversation. You can follow me on Twitter or on my blog, and let's get started. So today what I want to talk about is WebSockets and the potential and opportunities for building real-time applications on Windows Azure with WebSockets, both from a Microsoft perspective and an open source perspective. So I'm a big fan of starting with why, so we'll spend some time talking about why WebSockets, kind of the idea, the problem that WebSockets solve. We'll then jump into some of the scenarios behind how you can leverage WebSockets and Windows Azure, definitely a better together situation. And then we'll actually get down into programming WebSockets and Windows Azure. I'm gonna have a number of demos. In fact, because this is all about real-time applications and interaction, I'm actually going to ask you guys to be in my demos. So in demo 3 and demo 4, I'll actually be asking for you to interact with me and the services that we'll be reviewing via Twitter. So if you have some questions, comments, make sure that you have your Twitter clients queued up. Make sure to use the AzureConf hashtag, which I'll give you a reminder as we get going. And then also, in the last demo, I'm actually going to ask you to share your favorite picture that you might have on your phone, or maybe take a picture. I will ask that they're all rated G for the purposes of this audience. And if you have TwitPic as a client or the native Twitter client, you'll be able to participate fully in that demo. So don't start uploading or posting them quite yet, but get those pictures ready to start thinking about what pictures you might want to contribute to the demo. So let's get started. So why WebSockets? Well, WebSockets is all about building real-time applications, whether those are web applications or native applications. For the purposes of this talk today, we're really going to talk about browser-based real-time applications. And we've actually been building these types of applications for quite some time. And you think about applications like Twitter, Foursquare, any applications where they're streaming information, stock ticker type, event-driven applications, WebSockets, or I should say real-time, the need for a technology like WebSockets, real-time eventing is really required. And we've actually been using technologies like XHR, AJAX, XML, HTTP requests for some time to kind of trick the client or the user into kind of thinking that we're actually connected in real time. The way that works is if you think about the browser, the client side, and the server side, we basically create these asynchronous requests that happen periodically using good old AJAX, again, XHR. And so this is a model that's actually been in place for probably near a decade and has really delivered a number of different applications that, again, provide that illusion of real time. Another programming model that's kind of an extension polling is kind of this idea of long polling, which again is very similar to XHR or AJAX, but in this case what we're actually doing is creating a connection from the browser to the backend service and actually holding on to that connection until an event, payload, message of interest arrives, and then actually bringing that message down to the client. So this is somewhat of an improvement over polling in the sense that we're not polling continuously. We're actually creating the connection once, waiting for a message to arrive, and then delivering that message to the client. But along with polling, AJAX, et cetera, it's not the most intuitive programming model. You know, first of all, the idea that you have these, you know, threads going off kind of creating bandwidth and polling, where in most often cases there actually isn't a payload, isn't the most intuitive. Certainly you run into challenges around scale out, high availability, et cetera, and have to resort to different things. Cross-domain is also a big limitation. Typically you'll look at technologies like JSONP to get around that. Again, not the cleanest and most intuitive programming model, not to mention that that's a lot of plumbing for a web developer to be keeping up with on the browser side. So the whole idea behind WebSockets is to kind of improve upon the current model and really delivering a protocol that is fully duplex bidirectional, kind of the closest thing to TCP sockets, but being fully interoperable. So WebSockets makes building real-time applications really, really simple. Whether you're focusing on browser-based apps, which we're going to focus on for the remainder of the talk today, or native apps, whether those are Windows Store apps, WPF, Windows Phone applications, or building composite applications where you're doing business-to-business workflow messaging, doing hybrid type composition is a perfect fit for those scenarios because it's enabling that real-time, low-latency messaging. So, in a nutshell, WebSockets is all about enabling secure, that's important, two-way communication between a client and remote host without relying on multiple HTTP connections. And as I mentioned before, it's fully duplex, bidirectional, as close to that TCP sockets experience that you might get. So in addition to interoperability at the browser level, because it leverages port 80 and 443, as we'll see here in the upcoming demos, it does support cross-domain connections, which is a huge improvement over the existing programming models. And as we'll talk about more in the talk, there's actually two perspectives to WebSockets. There's the client side, which is all about programming in JavaScript to interact with your WebSockets. And then there's the server side, which is the implementation of the WebSocket protocol. So let's take a look at how WebSockets works. As I mentioned before, the interoperability is actually one of the key benefits of using WebSockets because you're not having to learn or do anything different or anything that feels unnatural. The way it pretty much works is you'll typically have a HTML5 client or a client browser that actually supports the W3C specification on the client side, and then you have some service, some endpoint that actually implements the HIBE working group IETF protocol, which we'll get into in a little more detail. So those are kind of the prerequisites. From there, what basically happens is the browser establishes an initial handshake that looks no different from any other HTTP request, either on port 80 or 443, if you're doing SSL. At that point, once that handshake happens, the client then requests an upgrade from HTTP to WebSockets. At that point, if the WebSocket server or service understands WebSockets, it will go ahead and accept the upgrade request and establish that socket connection. Now, at this point, you actually have a full connection from the client to the actual service over the WebSockets protocol. Now at this point, the WebSocket service is going to be listening to events from some event sync, right? So WebSockets actually doesn't change anything in terms of being able to hook in or the need to hook into those events. Those events might be off of a Twitter timeline, a stock ticker, some events at some meter from a utility perspective. Once those events come in, now they're being delivered in real time from the service to the client. And the client can also interact without the need to create any new connections, resorting to XHR polling, long polling, etc. So it's actually pretty cool. If you take a look at what happens under the hood when you're working with WebSockets, if you use a profile like Fiddler or F12 developer tools, what you'll actually notice is that the request includes a number of request headers. So first of all, the first thing that jumps out here is likely the fact that you're doing a GET, so you're using a regular GET verb, but you have a new protocol scheme or prefix called WS. And this is per the WebSockets specification that all URIs will be prefixed with WS. From there, the URI looks like just any other URI. So in this case, for those of you that have done WCF development, recognize the .svc as being a WCF WebSocket implementation, which we'll actually take a look at in one of the demos. From there, we have a couple of request headers that are pretty interesting. You have the connection request header, which is asking for the upgrade. You have the version of the WebSockets, which is really, really important. In fact, now that the specifications or the standards have landed and the dust has settled, you can pretty much depend on the version being 13. But if you've been keeping up with WebSockets over the last 18 to 24 months, you know how important the version is. And then there's the upgrade request header to WebSocket. Now the response from the WebSocket service is going to result in a HTTP 101 switching protocols. That's how you know that the actual protocol has shifted now or switched from HTTP to WebSockets. The connection response header is now set to upgrade, and the upgrade type is WebSocket. There's also some security information that is shared to make sure that there's no denial of service, man-in-the-middle type attacks. But those are really the fundamental request headers, and we'll actually show an example of that when we do our first demo. So with that foundation set around what WebSockets is all about and the why behind WebSockets, let's look at what a great fit WebSockets is with Windows Azure. When you're building Azure applications, what you do know from a solution perspective is that your solution architecture tends to be distributed by its very nature, right? As Scott talked about this morning, there's the platform as a service capabilities, infrastructure as a service, Windows Azure websites. What I'm going to focus on today is really the platform as a service, cloud services capability. And typically, when you look at building a cloud service, you're dealing with roles, either a web role or a worker role. Your web role is really all about hosting applications that might be .NET, PHP, and a variety of different other options supported for actually interacting outside of the Azure data center, if you will. And typically, you're going to have some of your backend services, your longer running processes running in a worker role. However, there's really no requirement for that being the case. You could very well do much of what I'm going to talk about today in a web role, but it's a really good way to partition your application from a separation of concerns perspective, as well as kind of mapping that to a physical runtime architecture. Now, if you've done any development with cloud services, you know there's all these additional capabilities that are available for you to stitch in and compose into your application. So for communicating between an application maybe running on the web role, some front-end app with your worker role, you can use queue storage, maybe leverage cache service to improve throughput. On the front end, the worker role may also interact with the data services, including table blob storage, service bus for doing hybrid composition back on-premise and other service providers, and then, of course, the cache service. So if you think about this model, which is pretty traditional from an Azure solution architecture standpoint, where does WebSockets and HTML5 fit in? Well, as you probably can imagine, you would deploy a WebSocket service to be hosted either in a worker role or a web role. In this case, I'll depict it in the worker role. And then you have maybe ASP.NET, PHP, running on the front end for the UI or presentation layer, leveraging HTML5 so you get that native W3C capability. And now you have a very, very flexible, open and solid architecture. And to kind of look at, you know, one scenario where this really makes sense is maybe you start off with one instance of your WebSocket service living in your web or worker role. As the number of users increases, the ability to very flexibly scale that web worker role to keep pace with the increasing load is really one of the key value propositions of thinking about Windows Azure, is kind of that back end that's highly available, highly scalable, etc. So it turns out that while what I'm going to show you today is relatively new within the .NET 4.5 and some of the announcements that were just recently made at Build just a few weeks ago, it turns out that Microsoft's actually been investing in WebSockets for quite some time. One of the initial landing places for those investments is a site called HTML5 Labs. For those of you that have been keeping up, this is probably very familiar to you. If you scroll down to WebSockets, what you'll find is a number of reference samples that have actually been out there, as I mentioned, for several months, including the chat demo. It includes the code and actually a real-time chat demo, which actually turns out to be a really good Hello World example for WebSockets. A lot of the kind of WebSocket 101 demos tend to be chat, so I figured it would be appropriate to demonstrate this. So the whole idea here is I have my client up and running. I can say hello from Azure Conf, and let's go ahead and duplicate that to simulate another client, and I'll go ahead and post that, and that should show up here in my other client, and I will say then hello back to you. So a couple things about this demo. One, it's pretty deprecated, so I don't recommend that you spend too much time with it. But it's kind of interesting if you think about the Azure solution architecture that I mentioned, because the WebSocket service that's actually managing the chat is hosted as a WCF service application in a web role. And then we're actually using a Silverlight HTML5 to Silverlight bridge to actually handle the fact that the previous versions of IE, IE9, etc. actually didn't support the W3C specification. So you can see that up and running here, just a quick and dirty Hello World example of WebSockets. So just to recap, simple browser-based example, actually implementing the HiBe09 prototype, which goes back several months, WCF service hosted in Windows Azure, and the HTML5 and Silverlight bridge it running in IE9. Again, I don't recommend that you spend too much time with this, but it's a great example if you want to show your friends and colleagues a Azure WebSockets app running live. So definitely use at your own risk. Really, I wouldn't recommend investing too much time there. So with the Hello World required demo out of the way, let's jump into programming WebSockets in Windows Azure. So as I mentioned previously, there's kind of two perspectives or two aspects of WebSockets. On the client side, you're really talking about leveraging your JavaScript skills, jQuery, et cetera, to actually program and interact with the WebSocket service on the client side. So the W3C is the organization behind that specification. The demos I'm going to show are as of recommendation 08, December 2011, and it's supported by major browsers today. So IE10, Chrome, Safari, et cetera, all support this version of W3C. On the client side, wasn't always that way, but it's always nice to kind of jump on once the dust has settled. Now, on the server side, the HIBE working group from IETF is currently a proposed standard RFC 6455. And this is what now back-end server API vendors and companies are actually using to implement the protocol on the server side. So from a Microsoft perspective, it's supported in ASP.NET and WCF in .NET 4.5. And then as we'll also see Node.js through the great support of community around modules has support for it in Node.js, and we'll demo all of that both on-premise and in Windows Azure. So taking a look at the roadmap, just kind of depending on what point in time you're coming in, as I mentioned, HTML5 Labs was really kind of the first stake in the ground that Microsoft made working with other platform vendors and the IETF HIBE working group and W3C, which we demonstrated the chat application. And then throughout the .NET 4.5 wave, there was kind of some churn around standards, which was always fun to keep up with. Which was HIBE 10. But now the good news is again, the dust has settled. This is a great time to get into WebSockets. And as of .NET 4.5, release candidate, it's been based on RFC 6455 through RTM. So I've mentioned the ASP.NET and WCF .NET 4.5 support within the platform. So let's actually take a closer look at the architecture behind that. Because the initial request for a WebSocket connection goes through HTTP, as you're probably pretty familiar with, HTTP SYS is a kernel-level component that actually is kind of the traffic cop for all of the HTTP traffic. So whether you are an ASP.NET developer and want to build your WebSocket service in ASP.NET, or you're a WCF developer and want to build your services with WCF, the good news is that there's a core shared namespace that's new in .NET 4.5 called system.net.websockets. If you want to program directly against that namespace, you're more than welcome to. It's pretty low level, but there's a ton of great things that you can do with the low-level system.net WebSockets APIs. However, what I'm going to focus on in this talk is how quickly and easily you can get up and running with WCF or ASP.NET using the Microsoft.WebSockets NuGet package that's been created by guys like Paul Batem, David Fowler, and a number of other folks that have actually been incubating WebSockets for many, many months. So let's actually take a look at WebSocket support in ASP.NET 4.5. As I mentioned, it uses or wraps the low-level system.net WebSockets API and provides that higher-level abstraction via a WebSocket handler. If you've done HTTP or IHTTP handler development, you're going to feel very, very comfortable with what I'm about to show you. But the thing to keep in mind is that .NET 4.5 WebSockets is only supported on Windows 8, Server 2012, or Azure Compute Services using Azure, the OS Family 3. And I'll show you all the things that you need to do in order to get that up and running. It's really only three things and pretty simple to do. So if you're developing on Windows 8, Server 2012, you're good to go. If you're not, Azure is actually a great solution to get up and running and start testing your apps quickly and easily. So, because there are standard bodies involved, what you're going to see is a consistent theme, whether we're showing you ASP.NET code today, WCF code, or Node.js, different programming models, different syntax, but the overall methods or functions are the same. So the first thing that you do is you define a class, in this case, server event handler. I'm going to go ahead and implement WebSocket handler, which is part of that NuGet Microsoft WebSockets package. And then I'm basically overriding, in this case, three main methods that you'll see a lot. The onOpen method is going to fire when the client initiates that connection, that handshake we talked about, and requests that upgrade request. And at that point, you have the opportunity to execute whatever logic you want. In this case, I'm just using the JavaScript serializer to send back a message, a welcome message to the client, letting them know that they've connected successfully to the WebSocket service. From there, I might receive a message. So the client is now free to send messages back and forth using the W3C API, which is native now to modern browsers. And in this case, all I'm doing is just echoing back that message to the client. And then on close, actually, we'll get called when you either physically close the connection on the client side, or in the browser-based world, that might mean closing a tab, closing the browser altogether. So this is the opportunity to do some resource cleanup, close connections, et cetera. As I mentioned before, getting a hold of the Microsoft.WebSockets package is as simple as going to WebSockets page on the NuGet gallery, or within Visual Studio, go ahead and just install the package. And the latest version, as of yesterday, was 2.3. So let's actually take a look at simple eventing with ASP.NET 4.5 WebSockets. What I wanted to do in this demo, because as I mentioned, most demos tend to be a chat application, which is pretty trivial to implement, but there's actually a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And so what I wanted to do is just show the simplest, most effective way to demonstrate WebSockets in ASP.NET 4.5. So what I've actually done is created a simple eventing handler using ASP.NET, and I'll show you the code for that here really quickly. I have my simple eventing service type, which is implementing IHTTP handler, and then I'm actually going ahead and implementing process request. So this is actually that step two, where the client is then requesting the upgrade. That upgrade comes through via an instance of the HTTP context, and if it's a WebSocket request, we're going ahead and accepting that WebSocket request because we have the capability to do so, and at that point, I'm going ahead and delegating or shipping that request off to my simple eventing WebSocket handler, and the code for this couldn't be simpler. So I have my simple eventing WebSocket handler, just the name I came up with. I'm implementing WebSocket handler, which is of type Microsoft.WebSockets, Microsoft.web.WebSockets. And from there, all I'm doing right now is when OnOpen fires, I'm going to go ahead and serialize back to the client that we've connected. And then one of the things that I mentioned earlier is what WebSockets is doing is giving you real-time connectivity between the client and the service. But the service still has to hook into some kind of an event sync in order to provide whatever meaningful information is in context. So what I thought of is the simplest way to show this is just create a loop and just echo back the time every second. Let's actually run that. But before I do that, I want to just show you the Azure aspect. One of the things, if you've been doing Azure development, is that with a few exceptions, your overall approach to writing ASP.NET, WCF doesn't really change, right? You have to think about packaging, you have to think about deploying. The nice thing here is what I have is a simple eventing handler web role, which is just a cloud service project. If I go into my solution here and just do new project, go to cloud, select the Windows Azure cloud service. That's really all that I've done so far. Once I have that and given it a name, all I've done here is associated the simple eventing handler, which is again the ASP.NET implementation of the WebSockets service. So once that is done, what I can do now is test locally on my dev fabric or the local compute emulator. So let's actually do that. I'm gonna go ahead and right click here, click debug, and start a new instance. As that's firing up, what we should actually see is that my emulator is firing up here. I have a new deployment of my ASP.NET handler, and I can see here that we're up and running and things look healthy, which is great. So now what I can do is just run the client. We'll go ahead and step through this. Going to click connect, and I break into my onOpen method, and as you can see, all I'm doing here is going ahead and looping through. Click F5, and I see now that I'm just echoing the current time that is actually Arizona time, because we actually don't do the whole daylight savings thing. So that's really as simple as it gets. I'll show you the client side to this, which is equally simple. And you'll appreciate my great UI skills. There's a reason I'm an integration guy and not a UI guy. But what I have here is some very simple HTML5 markup. I have an input element, a paragraph, and an unordered list. And then I'm using just a little bit of JavaScript and jQuery to first detect if WebSockets is supported. If it is, I'm going to go ahead and turn that button green just as a visual indicator. Again, I told you that my UI skills were pretty impressive. But the most important thing here is you'll see that my host URI is pointing to my local host running on Dev Fabric. And then I'm simply newing up a WebSocket. There are no includes, there's no references. This is native to the browser. And what I showed you so far has been IE. Once I create that connection, once I verify that it's open, I'm going ahead and setting that visual indicator. And then as I receive messages back from the server, those timestamps every second, all I'm doing is just adding that to my unordered list using just a little bit of jQuery. So let me just show you the Azure implementation of that. So I'm just going to change my URI here. I've deployed ahead of time a simple eventing handler reservation. And all I did there was literally publish my web role to Windows Azure. Now, there's a couple of things from a pre-configuration perspective that you need to keep in mind. The first of which is, as I mentioned before, WebSockets is a Server 2012 and Windows 8 only feature. So the first thing that I need to do is make sure that I tell the deployment package to go ahead and use the latest version of the image that's going to be provisioned for me. And I do that within my service configuration file by simply setting OS family to 3. From there, what I want to do is make sure that I'm using the HTTP 4.5 request pipeline. And what I'm doing here is just setting HTTP runtime to target framework 4.5. That's really all I have to do from a configuration time perspective. From here, I simply right-click, publish, go through the wizard, and away I go. Now, I've already deployed this ahead of time, so I actually have one in the oven, and I'll just show you that one here. Let me just go ahead and refresh. I'm in the management portal that Scott demonstrated this morning, which is going to enumerate all of my cloud services in this case that I have deployed. And what you'll see here is my Azure Simple Eventing Handler. And the URI for that is actually already configured within my script to the Azure Simple Eventing Handler.cloudapp.net. So I'll just go ahead and now run this demo, see if I still have this up here. Great. Go ahead and refresh. Hit connect. And now what you'll see is the timestamp is different, and this is proof that this is running on Windows Azure because I'm now running in UTC time as opposed to Arizona time. I can run this in IE10. I can fire up Chrome. Eventually, at some point, this will come up. There we go. Hit connect, and I'm getting the timestamp. So really, really simple example of WebSockets, but the idea here was not to implement or demonstrate anything too involved, just to simply go ahead and show how easy it is to implement WebSockets on the ASP.NET 4.5 WebSocket handler. So I'm going to go ahead and bounce back into my slides here. Remember that you need the Microsoft.WebSockets NuGet package. So in my solution is a packages file that includes the NuGet package. Really all there is to it from a configuration time perspective. So let's jump into the rest of the slides. The other thing that I forgot to mention is on the actual VM, the guest image that's running the web role, in this case, you need to go ahead and execute dism.exe and go ahead and enable the WebSockets feature. Now, this is something you can do manually. The recommendation would be to go ahead and use a custom startup task, and I'll include that on my blog as a follow-up write-up to this session. So set OS family to 3 in the service configuration file. Make sure you add the HTTP runtime target framework attribute in the element to 4.5, and make sure that you've enabled WebSockets on that image. Again, either manually, but highly recommended that you do a startup task. That way you don't have to remember to do it each and every time. Great. So we've talked about ASP.NET. Now I want to show you the same approach with WCF. So there's two perspectives to WCF support with WebSockets on .NET 4.5. One has nothing to do with the W3C browser side of things. If you're doing development, you know, within the enterprise or B2B, the NetHTTP binding is a new binding that actually now supports WebSockets. So it's a great alternative to TCP if you're having issues traversing firewall rules, et cetera, for doing, you know, full duplex callbacks, et cetera. So definitely recommend that you take a look at that. My fellow Microsoft Integration MVP, Damir Dobrik, has a great write-up that's available in the references showing this pretty early in the .NET 4.5 wave. For the purposes of browser-based development, WebSockets is going to be implemented via Microsoft.web WebSockets. Again, the same NuGet package. You download that NuGet package once. And in this case, you're going to use the WebSocket service as opposed to the WebSocket handler. The syntax for this is going to look really familiar, right? The only thing that's really changed here is that opposed to implementing the handler, we're implementing this high-level WebSocket service. The method names are identical. In fact, the code is pretty much the same except for the fact that we're using WCF. So let's just show you what that looks like. And this is going to be a great opportunity for you to share with me kind of what you think of the conference, maybe ask a question. If I can't get to your question in the session, I'll promise you I will respond via Twitter. I'll look for the hashtag. Just remember to use the AzureConf hashtag. And what I'm going to show you now is actually an implementation of a WebSocket service using WCF 4.5 that's actually going to use Joe Mayo, another fellow MVP, package available on NuGet, CodePlex, et cetera, linked to Twitter that actually makes integrating with the Twitter search API really, really simple. So let's jump into that. Go ahead and close everything out here. And what I have here now is a couple of projects. I have the client side and the service side. On the service side, I'll just spend a little bit of time showing you what's going on here. Again, I have my cloud service, which is just going to include a reference to the WCF services, from a packaging perspective. I've again made sure that I've set the OS family equal to version 3, as you can see right here. And then I've also gone ahead and in my actual service project, added the HTTP runtime element with the target framework attribute set to 4.5. So with that, this is just plain old WCF, right? Nothing really going on here. I have a status stream service, which is the name of my WCF service. I'm implementing again the WebSocket service here. And all I'm doing now is within my onOpen method, I'm just starting a while loop and I'm just wrapping all of the API goo to integrating with Twitter in a manager here called Stream Manager, and I'm just calling that Get Simple Status. So if I actually go into the definition, I'm not going to spend a whole time amount of time here, but here's just a really nice example of the link to Twitter API, which makes it super simple. And I'm just passing in a hashtag, which at this point is simply set to appropriately AzureConf. And then from there, I'm basically just using link to Twitter to search the Twitter timeline using the search API and bring back any tweets that include that hashtag. If you've ever done any Twitter programming, you know that the payload for a status is actually pretty verbose. So I'm just doing some mapping here as well to just map it into a custom type that I've defined called simple status that just includes the bare essentials that I need for this implementation. From here, I'm just iterating in a loop, and I'm basically calling the get simple status. And once I get that, I'm going to go ahead and just send it back via my WebSocket send method to the client. That's really all that's going on there from a WCF perspective. You will notice that there's a WebSocket service host factory that you need to implement, and I have much more on that in a recent article on Code Magazine that you want to check out. It's the September-October issue, but pretty straightforward stuff if you've done WCF development. So with that, I've gone over the service. Let's go ahead and now run that service on the local fabric. Give that just a couple of seconds to fire up, and we'll just verify that it's up and running here. Here we go. So here's my status stream service. And now let's go ahead and fire up the front end. I'm going to go ahead and just pop into my debugger again so that there's no illusion of smoke and mirrors. Go ahead and hit F5. And now what we should have is whatever is going on the Twitter timeline in near real time. So the Twitter search API is pretty cool, but there's some anomalies that I've noticed. There's kind of bias in terms of what tweets show up, depending on whether it's an organic tweet or a retweet, et cetera. So if we kind of hung out here, we should see tweets coming up. And if you want to go ahead and tweet something about this session for relevancy, feel free to do so. Got some tweets coming in from Brady, who's done a great job with the session, et cetera. So as I mentioned, this is running on the local emulator, the local dev fabric. So this is an Azure talk, so let's make sure that we're now pointing to the Windows Azure implementation, which again is just a simple matter of going ahead and publishing that to the Windows Azure fabric. And this will be a good opportunity to just walk you really quickly through the UI behind this. So as I mentioned before, I am not a UI guy. I actually found this great plugin for doing kind of quote boxes. What you'll notice here is the HTML is really, really simple, which is pretty consistent with HTML5 markup. It's really all about being declarative. So I've got a couple of divs, a paragraph holder, and whatnot. All the magic, so to speak, happens within the script file using this nice jQuery plugin that I acquired via marcofolio.net. Highly recommend you take a look at that site. Really talented designer, I believe out of Germany, that is responsible for my UI portions of my demos not sucking. So I have my host here set to my local DevFabric version. I'll go ahead and uncomment this. And then really, from a WebSockets perspective, all the code is the same right now, right? I'm newing up a WebSocket connection, which is again native to the client side, thanks to W3C. And then on receiving a message, I'm basically going to grab that simple status, having parsed it with JSON, start the animation, and I'm not going to go into all this detail, but all this code will be available to you. Pretty cool stuff going on. So I'll go ahead and just save that. And let's go ahead now and just rerun the client. And we should have some tweets showing up. This is again off of the Azure version. So if you have any tweets with the AzureConf hashtag, feel free to tweet them. The search API sometimes does have some delays as opposed to the streaming API, which I'm going to demonstrate here next. Let me go ahead and fire this up in Chrome. No tweets thus far. Let's try Firefox. And let me just make sure that I did save that. I did. Great. Let me try stopping this. Go back in here. There we go. Thank you, David Barkle, for the compliment. So this, again, is streaming via the search API. As you can see, there are delays sometimes in terms of the tweets showing up, which is not a problem with the streaming API, which we'll jump into next. Before I forget, I just want to show you the dism.exe syntax. So I'm in a web role here for actually my simple eventing handler demo. And the syntax is dism.exe, WAC online, WAC enable feature. And I'm basically enabling the IIS WebSockets feature. Again, probably not practical or intuitive to Remember to do this every time, so you definitely want to use a startup task, and I'll have an example of that on my blog here very shortly. So, popping back into the slides, go ahead and just recap what I just showed you. We've got an HTML5 client running in Google Chrome, IE10, I don't think I showed you the tweet, in Firefox. Near real-time Twitter updates using the Search API, thanks to Joe Mayo's excellent link to Twitter client. The backend service implemented via WCF 4.5 WebSocket service. And just make sure you remember to grab that Microsoft.WebSockets NuGet package. So, and all the same reminders apply there. So thus far, we've been focusing completely on ASP.NET, WCF, .NET Framework 4.5, and as you can see, it's really very simple to get up and running with WebSockets. Everything that I showed you is off of the Microsoft.WebSockets NuGet package, but that's not the only approach, right? Because the fact that this is a standards-based protocol means that Microsoft is free to implement the protocol on the server side, on the browser side, as you can see, IE, Chrome, Safari, Firefox, etc., are all implementing the W3C client API. But there's a number of other implementations for WebSockets that you definitely want to take a look at as well. I'm going to talk about Node.js because, as everybody knows, Windows Azure loves Node. Windows Azure is very open when it comes to not only making sure that .NET is a first-class citizen within Windows Azure, but very open in terms of PHP, Node.js, etc. So I'm going to get into that a little bit more. There was a question. Is WebSockets better than SignalR, or when should I use one or the other? If I'm not mistaken, SignalR actually is wrapping the Microsoft implementation of WebSockets, providing you with the ability to adapt and evolve based on the conditions of your browser and your network environment. And there's other implementations in Java, et cetera, Jetty, Kazing, and you could always roll your own, right? So if you've got time on your hands and you're very ambitious and you want to implement Hybe web service protocol, you're more than welcome to do that. In fact, what I'm going to show you is module written in Node.js by a gentleman named Guillermo Rowe, who's contributed significantly to the WebSocket space and just messaging in general in Node.js. For those of you that don't know what Node.js is, Node.js is a server-side scripting framework based on the Google V8 engine, accessible via JavaScript. It's asynchronous by nature, making it very, very performant, so you don't have the option to not write asynchronous code in Node.js, and there's a ton of passion and community around it. My good friend Glenn Block has been doing a ton of work at Microsoft, making Node.js awesome on Windows Azure. I'm going to show you an example of that here, actually in the next couple of slides. But as I mentioned, the growing community of modules. So there's two modules that pertain to WebSockets that Guillermo Rowe has developed. One is called Socket.io. The other one is called WebSocket.io. The idea with Socket.io is to basically provide not only WebSocket support, but long polling, etc., based on the capabilities of the browser platform, etc., and really nothing to do with the browser side. So he ships a specific or proprietary, if you will, client for Socket.io, but then he followed up with WebSocket.io, and WebSocket.io is designed specifically to not only implement the server side, but the W3C API on the front end, and actually he's nice enough to actually adjust for whatever version you're using, so I think he keeps up with like four or five previous versions, which has been pretty important as you've been keeping up with a lot of the churn around the standard. So the syntax in the programming model, a little bit different, but you can see here the evidence of the fact that we have very, very similar verbs or nouns, right? So I'm requiring the WebSocket IO module using the Node syntax. And then when I connect, I'm going ahead and logging the fact that the connection took place. I'm sending a message to the client indicating that the WebSocket connection has been successful. And then basically, anytime I receive a message from the client, I'm just logging that maybe sending back some data. And you'll see the same idea when the client closes or terminates the connection. I have the opportunity to free up resources, et cetera. As I mentioned before, Azure loves open source. Node.js SDK has been available now for over a year. The latest version is available on Windows Azure. .com 0.6.7. Installing it is a breeze. And once you do that, what you'll have is a full SDK, including a PowerShell commandlet that allows your or PowerShell interface that allows you to do really nice CLI with all the commandlets that come with the SDK. So this is kind of the opportunity, as I mentioned, for you to share your favorite G-rated picture. It can be one that's on your phone, maybe your favorite picture of your pet or your kids or something that you want to take in real time for those of you watching literally all over the world. The only requirement for the demo is that you include the AzureConf hashtag. And then for the demo, I'm only supporting TwitPic and the native Twitter image service. There's like, you know, 120 different services, so I had to kind of start pragmatically there. So don't upload this just yet. I'll give you your cue with plenty of time, and we'll actually see this now in action. So let me jump in to the demo. Go ahead and close out some of this stuff here. So when you install the SDK, what you'll get is a number of things. So if I do node here, you'll see that I have my node exe. If I do SDK, got the SDK there as well. Once you install the node SDK, what you'll get is this nice PowerShell window. And this is very consistent with kind of the node culture, very CLI driven. I've been learning a little bit about Node.js for the last few months, definitely not an expert, but very, very easy to get up and running, not only with Node.js with the Azure SDK, but actually pushing your node applications, whether they're front-end oriented or back-end oriented. So what I have here is basically my CLI window, and I can do a couple of things just to kind of get started. So the first thing I'm going to do is run the new Azure service project commandlet. I'm going to give it a service name of AzureConf Polaroid Stream Service. You're getting some insight into the demo I'm going to show you. Go ahead and hit enter, and what it basically does is just creates a folder by the same name. So I'll go pop in here, go into node, and I just created right now an empty folder that has all my Azure definition file stuff. From here, what I want to do is go ahead and add an Azure node worker role. The demos I've showed you thus far has all been on a web role. Now we're going to show you how easy it is to deploy Node.js to a cloud services worker role. And I'm just going to give it a name of the same name. So I'll just give it AzureConf Polaroid Stream Service. Great. Great. So now the role has been created. And what I'm going to remember to do now is just copy over my server.js, which I'll demonstrate to you here very shortly. Whoops. Into my container here. I'm going to overwrite the default server.js, which is just a nice hello world. And now from here, what I can do is, as you might expect, I want to test this on premise, right? Before I do that, let me just show you the code here very quickly. I have my WebSocket I/O, and it also require the HTTPS module. And the reason for that is because the Twitter streaming API requires an SSL connection. All I'm doing here is basically looking for any tweets that include the hashtag of AzureConf, TwitPic, and photo, right? So this is how I'm grabbing those events that are happening in real time. I'm going ahead and initiating that request to the streaming API here, and then as I receive chunked payload responses for each one of those tweets that matches that criteria, I'm just going ahead and sending those to each of the sockets that's connected. So what you'll notice up here is I have an array that I created. I'm pushing the incoming socket connection to that array, and then basically duplexing those responses to each of the clients that connected. So a nice multicast example there. Not really doing too much on error and on close, but the meat of the implementation is all right here. On the client side, I have a simple input button and a div, and then I'm basically using a plugin again that I got off of MarcoFolio.net, which looks pretty familiar up to this point. I want to make sure that WebSockets are supported. And then basically, as I click the button, I'm going to go ahead and new up the connection. Or the WebSocket instance, excuse me, and then basically provide a visual indicator there that the connection has completed. And then when I receive a message, I'm going to go ahead and grab that payload, and then I'm going to go ahead and add that to my Polaroid function, which then does a ton of really cool jQuery animation, etc. That's really all that there is to it. Since I've demonstrated the development fabric a number of times, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in the interest of time to the Azure version of this by going ahead and uncommenting that. What you'll see here is I already have one in the oven. So Azure Comp Polaroid Stream 2012-11-12 is the one that I created a couple days ago in preparing for this demo. So with that good to go, let me just show you now what the steps would be for actually packaging the version that we just created. So I'm going to go ahead and do a start Azure emulator. Go ahead and hit enter. It'll go ahead and create the local package. It'll fire up the emulator and get running. We're not going to test it against the emulator, just in the interest of time, but you'll see that that is all good to go there. So you test that, make sure that everything is nice and running, which it is. So I'll go ahead and stop my Azure emulator. And as soon as that completes, I'm going to go ahead and publish this over to the worker role. So to do that, I'm just going to use the publish. Whoops. Publish. All right, here we go. Azure Service Project. I'll give it a location name, which is optional, but in this case, I'll give it South Central US to make sure it goes to that data center. Hit enter, and it gets to work on packaging and deploying it to Windows Azure. So while that's going on, let me just show you the one that I've already deployed. So if we go into my cloud services here, you'll see that I've got my Polaroid stream that I just mentioned. It's up and running, been created now for a couple of days. And so now what I want to do is just once again double check that my right URI is set, which it is. And now I'm going to go ahead and just run this. Go ahead and connect. Red is good. Red means that I connected. So now if you have any pictures that you want to share with the Azure Conf hashtag, again, please G-rated using the Twitter image service or TwitPic. This is your chance to be in the demo just to kind of get us off and started. I have one that I queued up here. So I had the opportunity to have a nice speaker shot with all of the Azure Conf speakers this morning. So I've got that on my phone here and going to go ahead and send that here. Got one from Michael Collier. Here's the one I just uploaded with all the great speakers from Azure Conf. Scott Kate is in the demo. Also the plugin, I don't take any responsibility for this, but the plugin shows some really nice box shadow features in CSS3, rotate, and as they come in, nice, that's a big bottle of tequila. As they come in, you can see they're happening in real time. I can click on them, et cetera, et cetera. So Node.js running on an Azure worker role, hooked into the Twitter streaming API, showing you the best pictures I've seen in a while live on Google Chrome. Let's go ahead and see if we can pull this up on IE. Click connect. That's what happens when you challenge the demo gods. All right, there we go. So there's Firefox running. And if you have any images that you want to share, go ahead and do so. So let me go ahead and wrap up. I've got a couple more slides and oops, there's one. Sweet, that's a good looking kid. So to wrap up the demo, real-time Twitter photos using the streaming API. Kind of the idea that I had for this was, you know, you pull out that old shoebox that's full of Polaroids, and you just kind of want to throw them down on a table, which is kind of what I was going for there. Node.js using the WebSocket I/O module hosted in Windows Azure using the Azure SDK, client 5 or HTML5, excuse me, client running in IE10, Google Chrome, Firefox, etc. Just make sure that you download the Azure SDK and the WebSocket I/O module, the HTTPS, is available natively. So to wrap things up, I really want to thank you for taking the time to attend my session. Now is really the time to start building great apps with WebSockets on Windows Azure. Whether you want to build those in ASP.NET, WCF, or Node.js, think about how WebSockets can really improve on your existing programming model and start building those apps on-premise in Windows 8, Server 2012, or Windows Azure. Again, full support for the latest standards via NuGet, so there's some benefits to kind of shipping out of band there, as well as Node.js. I want to thank you very much for your time once again. You're welcome to keep up with me on my blog or on Twitter. I'll be happy to continue the conversation. A number of resources here that we'll make available as well, including my latest article in Code Magazine, which basically is a step-by-step walkthrough of everything that I showed you today. With that, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of the conference.